You have your Bibles this morning. I'm going to ask that you find 2 Corinthians. That's in the New Testament, way over close to the end of the book. And we continue with sermons with interesting titles, or at least what are trying to be interesting titles. I don't know if the sermons are interesting or not, but at least we're trying to come up with catchy titles. So following up on Michelle's messed up can be fixed up, today's sermon is fixed up is not the same as finished. Fixed up is not the same as finished. And I hope to maybe make the title more clear as we go along. If you find 2 Corinthians, find chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. This looks like a mighty short scripture. Thank you very much. I appreciate that vote of confidence. No groans. That was marvelous. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. Hear the word of the Lord. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord, as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. May God bless the reading of His Word. Now, I don't know whether you keep track of what I say or not. I would like to flatter myself and think that, you know, from week to week somebody might remember something. And I'm generally pleased if somebody actually says something, you know, a month or two or 6 or a year later that makes me think that at least one sentence, you know, sticks for some reason. Just a public speaker's dream that something that comes out of their mouth other than something stupid actually gets remembered. First Sunday of this year, I suggested that one way of understanding the goal of Christian life would be to state it this way. The goal of the Christian life is to learn to love God better and better, and to learn to love others better and better. Now, for those of you who just need that translated into church-type language, which I'm fairly comfortable with, but of course not everyone is clued into the insider vocabulary, right? What that really means is the goal of the Christian life is to become like Jesus, who of course loved God perfectly and loved others perfectly. So starting where we start, we have to just keep getting better and better and better, working toward that goal of Christ-like perfection of love for God and love for others. Now in the world of ideas or business or that other thing I do throughout the week besides be a preacher, I run across different ways of expressing how to go from one place to another. All the time in business or in an organization, even a church, we have goals, we have a future, we have something we want to see accomplished. We see a building we want to build. We see goals inside the institution. But there is a gulf between where we are and where we want to be. And so there is this discipline we use to describe the present state where we are right now. So for just a moment, play the present state game and think about yourself. In particular, think about your spiritual condition, your life, your heart, your mind, your beliefs, the things that you want to believe, the things you think you ought to believe, the things that you think you ought to do. Keep those all in mind, and then assess where you are in relationship to all those oughts. Right? I will be glad to yield the floor, I think I'll be glad to yield the floor, to anyone who is 100% on all the oughts. Curious if Jesus was among us. Think about where you are in relationship to the oughts. That's your present state. That's where you are today. That is the life you lead. That is you right now. What I hope is that you have a mixture of satisfaction and dissatisfaction with the present state. By that I mean, I hope in the line of Michelle's sermon from last week that the messed up has been fixed up, that you are a person who has chosen to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you have allowed Him to be the Lord of your life, you have asked Him to forgive your sins, and that you find yourself today in a saved state. That place where your sins are forgiven and you consider yourself a Christian. I hope that is your present state. So I hope that you can find a certain level of satisfaction with your present state. What I hope also is that you realize that the fixed up of salvation, having your sins forgiven, is not the final outcome of the Christian life. It is step one. It is the gun has sounded on the starting chalk of the race, and you are now running the race we call the Christian life. Present state, saved, fixed up. But not finished. So I hope there is a certain level of dissatisfaction in your present state as well. A sense of there is something more I can become. There is more of Jesus for me to see, to know, more of His character to take on, more of His image to achieve. And in that sense, we have to think about the picture of Jesus as our future state. I'm not sure that we communicate that well all the time, but that is the ideal future state for the Christian. To have the same character as Christ. This is not blasphemy. It is not that we are all going to become little gods. No, we are going to become like Christ, who demonstrates not only God in flesh, but the perfection of the human form. What God intends for us to be as humans. I don't know about your own sober self-assessment of your present state and the future state. Between you today as a Christian, as a believer, as a forgiven, fixed-up soul. But when I think about me, I think there's still a gap between the absolute perfect image of Christ and where I find myself today. And so while I do have a certain level of satisfaction with finding myself in a relationship with God in a redeemed state, I have a certain level of dissatisfaction thinking I want to achieve more. We have this word, and I'm going to use the word transformation to describe the gap between where we are and where we want to be. That is the Christian life. The process of being transformed from our fallen human condition into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. There are some things I think we must have if we are going to see our future state realized. If we are going to be transformed into the image and likeness of Christ, there are some things we need to understand, we need to have. One is a vision of what might be. We have to become both intellectually, spiritually, and mentally committed to the idea that we can, with God's help, become what God intends for us to be remade in the image and likeness of Christ. We must be able to posit that vision, put it out in front of us to look at, and say, I really believe God's intent for my life is to make me like Jesus. I'm convinced that is what Scripture teaches. I am convinced the Scripture today clearly indicates from Paul to the Corinthian church that Paul understood the goal of the Christian life to be for us to turn toward God, and in the process of turning toward God, to be transformed into the very image of Christ, this image of God we see reflected as through a mirror, which is God in flesh and human form in Jesus Christ, be transformed in ever-increasing degree into that image. Need a technical theological term to throw in there, if you ever end up in a conversation with a technical theologian. You can call that the process of sanctification. Sanctification being this interesting little theological word, which comes from the word sanctus, and you know, with this little participial ending on the end of it, we inherit from the Greek with Latin. That means the process of becoming holy. Sanctification. Transformation from fallen human condition into the image and likeness of Christ. Sanctification equals transformation. Christian life. We have to have a vision. We have to see what might be. We really can be remade in the image and likeness of Christ. We have to have hope and faith that what we believe will really come to pass. People are just not motivated by facts. There has to be some emotional attachment. That's why I say you have to be convinced, not only intellectually, but spiritually and emotionally, that you can become what God wants you to become, like Christ. We also have to have discipline. I did not say we had to have punishment. I said we had to have discipline. Discipline is about positive and negative activities. Things we add to our lives, things we take away from our lives, things we do, and things we cease to do that help us to achieve our goal of becoming like Christ. There are spiritual disciplines, there are mental disciplines, and there are physical disciplines, and sometimes people just lump them all together and call them spiritual disciplines because they help us become like Christ, which is considered a spiritual goal. We do things with our bodies. We give. We come to church. We work. We have disciplines. We exercise. We read Scripture. We meditate. We pray. We have disciplines that not only add things to our life, but disciplines that take things away. We fast. We may fast food. We may fast television. Fasting is a process of taking something out of our life for the purpose of helping us become more like Christ. We may practice classic spiritual disciplines like meditation, silence, solitude, and one of my favorite spiritual disciplines, and for some reason it seems not to make it into every book on spiritual discipline, but it does make it into some. It's called celebration. It really is a spiritual discipline, you know? Learning to revel and take joy in everyday life and in the accomplishments of the day and in every step where we mark progress in becoming more like Jesus. Celebrate those moments. And I have decided that in order to sort of help this stick in your head and mine, it seems to be harder and harder to keep things to stick in. You know? I can't imagine what this is going to be like in, you know, 40 more years. It's got to be more difficult. But I have a little mnemonic, a little memory trick for what it takes to become like Christ. It's actually a little more than a mnemonic when it's all said and done, and maybe you'll catch it. But I've decided I can't spell, because I've decided to spell help, H-E-L-P-P. Right? H-E-L-P-P. And I've decided that H-E-L-P-P is going to help me remember that in order to become like Christ, I need His extended love to provide power for transformation. His extended love to provide power for transformation. And I say I need His extended love to provide power because I remember learning something in high school chemistry. It was called the Law of Conservation of Matter and Energy. Anybody remember that? I had to write that on the test so many times that my hand memorized it. The Law of Conservation of Matter and Energy. And it teaches that matter and energy is neither created nor destroyed. And it's the foundation for understanding chemical processes. If you want to take one substance and change it in some essential way to make it something else, then you want to take water, and you want to somehow end up with acid. You've got to add something to the water to make it change. Well, I've decided that what I want in my life is to find what I need to add to the water of my life to transform me essentially from where I am to where I want to be, from the human fallen James to the Christ-like James. And the additive is His extended love. Anybody remember how James expresses the Trinity? No? You do pay attention to them. I'm not going to say this again. You haven't caught that one yet, but we're going to go over it. The Trinity I best understand as the lover, God the Father. I call the lover because He is the source of all love. And the object of His love, the Son, we call Christ, Jesus. And for eternity, God the Father has loved God the Son. And there has been love between them that extends both directions. So His extended love in James Lunsford's Trinitarian vocabulary is the Spirit of God. His extended love provides power. It is the Holy Spirit of God working in you that lets you go from where you are to where you want to be. It is the additive that allows essential transformation to take place. And He is available. He is waiting for you to ask for His power in order to be transformed more and more, transformed degree by degree, to go back to our scripture, into the image of Jesus Christ. So Fixed Up is not finished. Salvation is a starting block, not the goal. the finish line, the goal of this thing we call Christianity is for us to become more and more and more and more and more and more until we're like Jesus. We have His image. In order for that to happen, we need His help. We need His extended love to provide power for transformation. Together. Together let us commit to asking God on a regular basis. Daily? Hourly? As often as it crosses your mind is more like it. For His extended love to provide power. Help me, God. I think it's okay to actually pray to the members of the Trinity by name. Help me, God. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Holy Spirit. Become more and more like Jesus. Let's pray together today. Gracious Heavenly Father, I do thank You for Your Word and what it teaches. That it holds forth in front of our mind's eye the possibility that we can be transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And in fact, that is Your goal for Your people, to transform us by degrees from the fallen human creatures we are into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Savior. I pray. I plead and I ask, O Holy Spirit, provide the power to transform me, to transform us into the very image of Christ Jesus, until we love God perfectly and we love each other perfectly. Help us. Help us in the transformation. Today, Lord, I pray that You bless those who have come into Your house. I pray that You would bless us and keep us safe as we travel. And I ask that Your extended love would provide power from moment to moment, that we might be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And then, in Your likeness, shine forth the glory of God for all the world to see. Dismiss us with Your blessing, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen.